Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JC Alfelto for The Writer's Lens, and this is going to be episode 24, which is talking about my favorite genre, which is science fiction. And since obviously I write science fiction, it's already a very near and dear topic to me, but I'm talking about the genre of science fiction specifically about the sort of the two sides of the coin that science fiction tends to inhabit or display, which is the imaginative side, where when you tend to read a lot of science fiction, you see some really cool tech in it or technology, and the authors are somehow projecting deep into the future this thing that hasn't happened yet, but we possibly could make someday. And then there's this other side of that, which is kind of this dark, foreboding future that if we don't deviate from where we are now, we could end up being on this path, and it could be really, really bad for everybody. And I wanted to kind of unpack that idea a bit, because being in the business of science fiction like I am, I find it incredibly fascinating, but at the same time, I also want to fight the stereotypes a little bit while acknowledging them. And speaking of acknowledging things, I wanted to briefly acknowledge the late, great Ursula K. Le Guin, who passed away about a week and a half ago. She was not touted as being the mother of science fiction, but she was a very influential writer during the 20th century. She was considered to be one of the first great female science fiction writers, but you can, you know, just throw out the gender in many sense, because she was just great. Okay, she was a really, really good writer. And I happened to read one of her books a few years ago called The Left Hand of Darkness, which I thought was brilliant, really well done. It was recommended to me by a friend. But it wasn't so much the story that really struck me as much as her foreword, which is what I'm going to talk about a little bit later in this episode, where she kind of lays out this framework of what it means to be a science fiction writer and what the genre really is meant to do to readers and you know, future audiences. So again, I'll touch on that a little bit later. But first, like I said, just talking about science fiction in general, when you think of science fiction, I mean, what do you think of? I mean, you probably think of things like Star Wars, which I've mentioned in a few other episodes before, and you tend to associate these things that, you know, we can't quite do them, but there's always this sort of dot, 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 yet, right? Like we imagine these worlds where technology or something scientific has changed the laws of physics, or the laws that we just know in general as part of our natural world somehow get suspended, and we forego this reality that we have here, and we're now thinking about this new reality where things are very different, or there's a different way of life, society is different, or perhaps people look different, there's other races or species or something or other. And this is why I love science fiction so much. I mean, as much as fantasy and science fiction sometimes cross each other in the spectrum of genre, this is why I love just general science fiction, because of this ability to go into this space that's very imaginative and it's innovative and it's really kind of pushing the boundaries of what we know to be real. So I love that. I love that aspect of it. But as I said before, there's kind of this opposite side to it, sort of the dark half of the coin, where sometimes when it comes to science fiction, we think of this futuristic world or this technology that could take us someplace, and it becomes very foreboding and dark. And we want to avoid this, you know, like the writers that we have now who are writing science fiction are almost like these dark prophets is what they become. And we want to do everything that we can to not allow ourselves to go down that path, whatever it may be. And, you know, just thinking really just kind of off the top of my head, then stories like, for instance, Surrogates, which was a movie that came out years ago, which is kind of borrows a lot of concepts from, say, The Matrix, which is another sort of post-apocalyptic story. But this idea that, you know, we can just live our lives through machines or something like that is this, again, foretelling of things that could happen. But when the story is told, it gives this sense of we shouldn't. You know, we just shouldn't go there. We shouldn't go there with these kinds of things. And that's where I think sci-fi writers tend to go more often than not. I mean, there was other popular TV shows like The Walking Dead, which of course started out as a graphic novel, but this post-apocalyptic scene of sort of a a strange virus or something or other. I don't even know if the show's even identified yet really what it is that makes them into zombies. But there's this idea that something radical has happened and we got to get out of there. We got to get out of this situation as fast as possible. So the technology almost becomes like the enemy of mankind. The new discovery becomes the enemy of us and our progression forward and our survival as a species. This new thing is somehow evil against us, which I think is really interesting because we're the ones making it. I mean, right? I mean, we're the ones making all the technology. We're the ones that are pushing the envelope, and we make this thing, and then we immediately almost regret it because of what it can do to us, which, again, I think is another interesting psychological, even Freudian, maybe perhaps, trip down the rabbit hole, which I could probably unpack and go on and on forever there. But science fiction, like I said before, has this real ability to kind of take us into new worlds. And stories like Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar, which was, you can draw up as many conclusions about how it pulls from Ferngully and Dances with Wolves and Pocahontas and every other popular story that has come by that's very similar to it. But this whole idea of transferring one's consciousness into a 9-foot blue alien with a tail is pretty interesting or pretty cool. And that really hits a nerve in us somehow. I mean, it really kind of pricks the imagination and goes, wow, like, what would that be like? Right? You know, like, what would that be like if we actually could do this? And what if we actually could travel at light speed, or we could freeze ourselves in cryo sleep and travel vast distances across the galaxy? I mean, there's these ideas that continue to pop up in all realms of science fiction that, again, like I said, really kind of push the envelope. Years ago, the sequel to Ender's Game was written by one of my favorite authors, Orson Scott Card, and he wrote a book called Speaker for the Dead, which takes place like 3,000 years after Ender's Game. You know, so spoiler alert, I always have to throw those in there. But this book introduces this idea of kind of like a Bluetooth AI technology. And for, as far as I know, this book was written, I think, in the early 90s. Which I think was right around the time Bluetooth was just maybe starting to be talked about, or maybe the technology was starting to come out. I'm not entirely sure of the time frame there, but I just thought it was really interesting is that, again, sometimes we see creatives and people who are writing story come up with these ideas that sometimes can mirror or perhaps even project things that what we eventually will do, you know, what we'll be able to do with our own tech, what we'll be able to do with things that we create. And I always find that to be a very, very interesting thing because of when we push our imagination to its limits, it's like, what are we going to find there? You know, what are the things that we're going to do as science fiction writers? It's like, where does probability meet plausibility? I think that's a really good question. But it's a really fascinating one to keep going down that rabbit hole with. And it's an area where I think my own worldview kind of comes into conflict with what I do as a writer. I mean, just kind of being a little transparent here. My worldview being of the Judeo-Christian worldview sometimes lends itself to having a lot of tension when it comes to writing science fiction. Because as I've seen in many circles on social media. So I'm part of a couple different social media groups that write fiction. One's a Christian group and the other one is not. So it's science fiction here and then fiction here and fantasy with a different worldview and other worldviews coming into another group. But what I always notice in the Christian worldview is that a lot of writers, creative people specifically, have a real problem / tension with writing fiction in general. Because there's always this call, I mean, for any of you who are listening that have been to church or who have never been to church, there's always this kind of, I don't want to say pressure, but it's almost like this constant message of, look, if you're going to tell a story, tell the greatest story that's ever been told. You know, share that story first. You know, forgo a lot of the things that you would maybe do creatively and tell this story and think of new ways to express it. Because that's ultimately the greatest story to tell, is this story of Christ, this story of the Bible, the biblical account, all those things. And when I really got to thinking about it before I started writing science fiction back in the day, you know, I didn't really have that tension necessarily because I wasn't really prescribing to this Christian worldview just yet. You know, I wasn't really down with it, but I was exploring it in my writing, I think, because I was exploring meaning and purpose in a lot of my writings. And I came upon this writer that you might have heard of called C.S. Lewis, who was this guy who wrote a fantastic children's series of books called The Chronicles of Narnia, which I'm sure you've probably heard of. But he also wrote an incredible amount of work on just the body of Christianity and just the idea of Christianity and the worldview of it. And I thought that was really interesting that this guy just didn't pigeonhole himself as, look, I can only write about, you know, the Christian, you know, God. I can only write about this. And I didn't really have good reason for supporting that until more than recently when I started reading this book called Called to Create by Jordan Rayner, who shares a Christian worldview, but he talks about what it is to be a creative who wants to write fiction. And even in specifically in the area of science fiction that I've been talking about in this, you know, in this episode, and how you can have that tension because even, you know, Christ talked in parables. You know, he talked in metaphor and he talked in ways that were able to express the true stories, but in a fictional setting. And I really feel like, again, that's where science fiction comes into play, is that we have this technology. We're not quite there yet, but we're talking about things that are real. They're happening right now. And if only we could do X, then it would be real. And to kind of tie all this, you know, back together again from the beginning, Miss Le Guin, who I'd mentioned at the beginning of this episode, her foreword in The Left Hand of Darkness talks about this exact thing, this idea of what science fiction really is trying to do. It's not so much just trying to project into the future and say things that we ought to avoid and things we ought to be aware of that could be terrible. Yes, okay, you do kind of get that sense of it from a lot of dystopian stories like 1984 or post-apocalyptic tales like perhaps The Book of Eli, which is a favorite movie of mine, which is this post-nuclear age where nuclear wars just ravage the earth. But rather, she kind of lays out this really good thesis on how when it comes to writing science fiction, you're not so much a prophet of things, you're just observing things as they are rather than what they could be. And I thought that was really interesting. I mean, the idea of saying that this is how things actually are, but I'm putting them into a new setting and I'm going to explore these things, so, you know, sociologically, psychologically, economically, politically, all the issues and things that you deal with now as a person, I'm going to pull into a new world, into a new setting with some new rules in some sense, perhaps. But they're still relevant issues. They're still relevant things that we have to grapple with as readers. And to me, that just really spoke to me. That message from her, and I kind of want to leave it with this, was a letter excerpt from C.S. Lewis, who was writing to a fan in the early 1960s, where he was basically talking about this exact concept of what it meant to be a fictional writer, but still having a certain worldview on things. And he was telling his fan that, you know, he didn't really sit down, and I'm paraphrasing this, he doesn't sit down and think of the best way to incorporate his worldview into a story and come up with the best Christian values that he wants to throw into a story. No, he starts with some ideas, some visions in his head, some imagination, which, again, you don't have to share the same worldview to do this, but if you're trying to write creatively, start there. And then you start to build the framework of whatever it is that you're trying to do. If you're building a new world, if you're building a crafting a mystery or whatever it may be, start there with those visions of things you really want to write about, and then you'll start to see this convergence of, this is how I feel about something, this is what I think about something, this is how I think something ought to be. And in my case, being a science fiction writer, that's when I throw in all the neat little gadgets and and things like that I want to kind of spice my story up with and really challenge not only my reader but myself as to what actually is possible, just in a sense of what we might be able to do, you know, someday down the road. So that's it for this episode as far as science fiction is concerned. I think there's a lot more to unpack there in many ways, but I really wanted to do this episode. I actually have been wanting to do this a little bit later in the year, but just considering after I'd heard of Le Guin's passing, which I think she was 88, so she lived a very, very long life and whatnot. I just felt like it was more fitting to do this episode now, kind of as a way to kind of honor her and the way she's influenced me. So anyway, I'll be catching up with you guys again soon. Like I said before my last episode, I will have some new interviews coming up here in the coming weeks, as well as just still running along this topic of just theology and philosophy as it relates to creative storytelling. So again, thanks for listening, guys. This is Josh JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens.